Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We hope that you've been at least learning something regarding republicanism, regarding the scale of liberty, those fundamental principles. We didn't dive necessarily into just the hard wiring of somebody that believes in subjugation, somebody that is amoral. They're over on the side of communism. They believe that you need to be protected for yourself. In some respects, there are some similarities too. Those folks who actually subscribe to blue laws. I kind of touched on this and I've kind of glossed over this before. But what's the difference between the blue laws and draconian laws and or statist types of laws, where both perspectives have this look that we need to control you or keep you from harming yourself? You don't know well enough. And so I think the big separation is that those who believe in subjugation adhere to the ideology that the ends justify the means, regardless of the cost, even if they have to kill you to get to where they need to be, that's what has to happen. Those who are on the blue laws, I mean, heavens forbid that they advocate for killing and so forth. So they have a level of morality. And they may not be in the camp of moral turpitude or a complete absence of morality, but they still believe, and it's immoral to compel anybody to believe one ideology or not. I do get the fact that America was so great that we had all sorts of bastions of groupthink. The Puritans was a bastion of groupthink. The different religions, as a matter of fact, Virginia, the Anglicans were a different bastion of groupthink. And it took us a while to eradicate those ideologies or that framework or that mind model. But I know Madison racked his brain in trying to get people to realize the importance of allowing people full liberty. There's no doubt in my mind that's what the good Savior wanted. The good Savior wants you to choose for yourself. He will not accept anybody compelled into salvation. We all have to make these choices for ourselves. So let me just kind of move forward. This is the show that provides you with the academic evidence and academic-based solutions on what we really have to do. You know, most people think that this is a lot of effort involved in this. Actually, it's not. It's not that much effort. All we need are people to say and just come to the resolve that we must comply to the Constitution. That if you can't articulate why, you have to at least concede that much wiser men and the divine hand of providence, whom inspired those much wiser men, created a system that we're beginning to start to recognize that gives us everything necessary to take back control, to control our destiny once again. So with that, as you know, I also pose this question because it's marketing. Are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? Because bottom line, if you ain't contributing, if you're not getting involved in the solution, you're still a part of the problem. If you are not helping one way or the other solve the problem, you're just a bystander. You're blocking people that need to get into the problem, and you're just keeping people from getting in there. You either need to be a conduit. You have to become some participant or some kind of resource somehow. And I can't tell you how you should be the participant or resource, But you do know. You know what you can do. You know what you can offer. All you've got to do is offer of yourself, whatever those things are, and get involved. Anyway, I don't want to harangue you anymore. I do want to get into some marketing. So the first thing that I'm going to cover today is we're going to get into an interview that I just had with Scott Adams on Red State Talk Radio the other day. And so this interview is basically, he called me up and asked me, hey, could you answer some questions of how these guys are violating the Constitution? I need some clarity on this. Is this a compact clause? What's going on? And so I said, yeah, I'd be happy to call in. I got up early, called, because he has an early morning show on Red State Talk Radio, at least early for those of us on the West Coast. So anyway, he proceeded to ask me questions, and I recorded the interview so that you can kind of hear his questions and the answers. This may be a big, huge galumphry, a big, huge amalgamation of problems, but sure enough, you can always boil these things down to, you know, here is the true problem. Here is something that you can actually bite your teeth into, get rid of these bad politicians. There's always a way. The Constitution has far more teeth than anybody realizes, but the only reason why it exhibits no teeth whatsoever is really more because of our illiteracy, the fact that most people don't understand the Constitution, they've never read it, and so that illiteracy lends to these people getting away with murder, literally. In some case, I mean, we're talking about the Clintons, or these other crime syndicates, you know, there's obviously a wake of death behind them. Now, I do want to bring up a few things before we get into that interview. We've got a listener drive. If you know anybody that's like-minded, get them attuned to our podcast. Get them attuned to listening to the show, at least pulling in the content. If you're in social media, I don't do much on Twitter anymore. I mean, I used to, and I every once in a while do, but I just find that Twitter, it's so restricting. I can put a meme up and put it out there, but 9 times out of 10, it just takes too much time and effort to focus. So what we do, because not that Facebook is any better. As a matter of fact, they're all terrible because they're all trying to manage the data. They're all going out of their way to manipulate information so that you really don't get the answers. They manipulate your news feeds. They manipulate any and every way. They can't censor, block you, shut you down, or what have you. I was talking to Douglas Gibbs over the weekend, and he said that he's been in social media jail from YouTube and everything else. And I'm going, okay, I get that. I've been there. What I'm trying to do is I just try to stay very focused on the Constitution. The less you name names, then the less chance they really perceive you as a threat, because they just look at you as a resource. Especially, I guess, if you're really getting that type of traffic, they might, you know, wow, this guy's getting a lot of likes. He's getting a lot of looks. There's a lot of views. We need to shut this person down. And maybe that's what it is. But I relish the day when I get completely shut down. I relish that day because I'm hoping at that point in time, we have enough movement already that is happening in real life and outside of the technocracy, outside of the, let's just say, the social media world, the virtual world where there is no reality. I hope that we get to that point, because if we don't, then I can tell you that we will be losing our liberties. The Bolshevik Revolution is around the corner. Go look at the statistics. How many kids are being pumped into the from the education system or the indoctrination system on an annual basis? It's 3 to 4 million a year. 3 to 4 million kids. That's 16 million kids in 4 years in a presidential cycle. And it's been they've been doing this since 2010 or even before then. Go look. I mean, that's a lot of brain dead automatons that want to vote for and get rid of their liberties, vote for the progressive agenda and so forth. So anyway, the other thing I want to do, due diligence, we need to plant seeds for Constitution Day. So in a few minutes, we're going to go to break, and then when we come back, it will be that interview. And then when we come back after the interview, I will kind of brush on some need-to-know news real quick to catch you up with what G. Edward Griffin has pushed out if you're not getting his need-to-know news. No reason why. I know we get lots of emails, and he sends out, you know, three need-to-know news flashes on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It's just three times a week, so it's not that bad. Even I get a lot of email, but I still am happy to get his perspective, because at least he's reporting these things that everybody else is just brushing over, marginalized, or not even recognizing what the, you know, what's really happening there. Anyway, we've got a listen line. So if you can't stream, if you're the only way you can listen to this show is either via podcast or streaming, you can listen live. And that phone number is 605-562-4209. That way you can just, you know, wherever you're going, you just dial, you listen, and you can play me via your, you know, your sound system for your phone, connected to your car, wherever you are. That's one way to make sure that you at least get the information, especially when we're getting into content that you need or you want to hear. Nine times out of 10, it's the whole point of this show is to get you active and get you motivated. There's no reason why Idaho is not leading in calling for Republic review, other than the fact that you've got a bunch of rhinos and illiterate, constitutionally illiterate representatives. I don't know who that was for. Is somebody in here? Anyway. You've got a lot of constitutionally illiterate representatives. You know, there's these guys that'll pump their chest, or guys and gals that'll pump their chest out and pound on it and say, look, I support the Second Amendment. I'm making sure you can carry your guns while your other liberties are being lost, while the rest of the Constitution is being shredded, while they're implementing larger and larger standing armies. You need to understand what's going on. It is not about your Second Amendment. It's about your responsibility to enforce the Constitution. You need to read that article. What is the real problem? It's one of those articles I wrote specifically for those who were myopic. They're just single-minded on the Second Amendment, that they miss the whole story. They're missing the bigger picture. The fact is, we have a right to bear arms because it is our responsibility as the citizens to enforce the Constitution as both the organized and unorganized militia. Read that article. Then you can have a better appreciation for the fact of why the Second Amendment really exists, not just so you can bear arms, but because you have a moral and a citizen obligation to enforce the Constitution. And when you've got public servants out there that aren't doing what they're supposed to do, they're literally supporting rebellion against the Constitution, it's our job and responsibility to remove them. So we get into these details. We get into what you need to do and how to do these things. We cover these stuff. And actually, I'm going to be touching on this in this upcoming interview with Scott Adams on his morning show on Red State Talk Radio. So when we come back, we will be going into that interview. And then when we go out to break and come back, I will be able to close with some need-to-know news. So please stay tuned. You'll want to hear this interview, and then you'll definitely want to get the need-to-know news when we come right back. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic.
We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic review. Please read my argument for Republic review as well as my description of the Republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. We want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And as we had mentioned, we have a really great guest on the program today. His name is G.R. Mobley, and he is a constitutional expert and scholar about all things related to the Constitution and Federalists. And the reason why we brought him on today is I had a lot of questions regarding what the state governors are doing with their executive orders and what they're signing off on. And we're going to focus specifically on Governor Northam in Virginia and also Governor Whitmer in Michigan. But we could also talk a little bit about Governor Beshear in Kentucky, who is trampling all over our rights for freedom of religion. And even the mayors are getting in on the action with Eric Simmons down in Greenville, Mississippi. But without further ado, we want to welcome G.R. Mobley to the Scott Adams Show.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So I called you yesterday, and I was a little bit perplexed about basically Article 1, Section 10, Paragraph 3, and that was I had a question about when you need consent for both. Whether it's one chamber of Congress or both chambers, you mentioned it's two chambers of Congress, and then you went on to talk about what tonnage meant. So if you could explain what's going on with respect to the states, the rollout to where how they're going to go about opening up the threat of states conspiring with one another to try to hurt Trump's economy and go against the president. And so all of this is in play, and then we're going to also talk about these other things as well.
Right. So actually, if you turn to if you understand ports, especially the international side of a port is controlled by the federal government. It may be on state property, but Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17 allows all ports of entry to be controlled by the federal government. So the federal government has control of what's coming into that port. And the federal government also, or I should say the Constitution also lays, because and Article 1, Section 10, Subsection 3, and Subsection 1 lays out the fact that states cannot, one, enter into a contract, that's Subsection 1 or Paragraph 1 as you refer to it. So these states are creating a compact that they're not going to cooperate and abide by the Constitution. Secondly, the fact that they're creating this blockage, now they're not necessarily putting a tax on tonnage, but they've got a complete blockage or a shutdown, not allowing the goods to be moved into the hinterland and throughout the Republic for commerce purposes. They do not have, they're violating the Commerce Clause as well as Section 10 in the Constitution. And just to jump forward for you, what these governors are also doing is these governors, especially Northam, if I'm pronouncing that right, or Nuthead, he's violating Section 10, subsection 3, because he's create, or subsection 2, because he's actually creating, oh, no, I'm sorry, it is subsection 1. He's creating ex post facto laws. Most people don't even understand what an ex post facto law is. An ex post facto law is if you bought something, like you bought land, and that land, at that point in time when you bought it, you could legally put a well on your property. Then all of a sudden they pass a law that says you can't do that. That's an ex post facto law. It makes something that was once legal, now illegal. And what he's doing is basically saying, if you've got a gun and you don't have a safe, if that's one of the laws, now you can't have that gun anymore until you buy a safe. That's an ex post facto law. So people need to understand that the Constitution actually protected us from not only federal tyranny, but as well as state tyranny, because they understood ex post facto laws were a preferred way for despots to literally take something that was legal and turn it illegal, like what FDR did with the gold, if you understand what happened there. But go ahead. I'm sure you have another question.
Northam basically does that, where you can't own a gun without a safe. Do I have to turn my gun in, or can I just go out and buy a safe? And if I can go out and buy a safe, then what's to stop someone like Northam from buying stock in Safe Builders before he executes that law?
No, so nothing keeps them from doing that other than ethics. I believe Congress believes that they're above the law. So let me explain this to your audience. The Constitution is a contract. It was written for and by the states, and it is an enumerated contract. In other words, it lists the very specific powers delegated. It is not a general contract. In other words, it doesn't just imply general powers. It gives very specific listed powers. This is all they can do, and if it's not there, they can't meddle with it. Now, if you peel back the Constitution, this contract concept, all the states came into this contract as they ratified it, accepting the same limitations upon them as well as the federal government having these. Now, the Bill of Rights only applied to the federal government. The 14th Amendment is what applied portions of the Bill of Rights to the states. So when you have Governor Nuthead and all these other governors passing laws that make you stay at home, shutting down commerce and so forth, they're violating the 14th Amendment because they're taking away your freedom of religious expression. They're taking away your freedom of assembly and so forth. And they don't have that privilege to do that because the 14th Amendment restricts states from passing any law that abridges an individual's privileges and immunities guaranteed by the Constitution. So understanding the Constitution being a contract, there are very specific things they can do. And in sections 9 and 10, these are the things that they cannot do. And that points into this 10th Amendment, where the state, it basically says the state has all powers that are not delegated or that are restricted per the Constitution. So the 10th Amendment actually amplifies the point that the states cannot pass these types of laws or do these types of things. And this is exactly what they're doing. Now, the solution is very clear. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment puts teeth in the fact that when somebody takes public service, they put their arm to the square and they say, I, whatever my name is going to support the Constitution. And then they do things that violate and actually support rebellion against the Constitution. They have lost their ability or qualifications for service because they have taken an oath and now committed moral perjury. Section 3 allows them, actually it makes them, disqualifies them, and now the Department of Justice can easily swoop in and remove Congress members, they can remove governors, state legislators, county commissioners, anybody and everybody. The intent wasn't necessarily for the federal government to enforce this. This was supposed to be able to be enforced at all levels, down to the county level and all the way up to Congress. And so You have a mechanism now that these people are actually committing rebellion against the Constitution. This is how you get rid of them. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, when there's a lot of debate between what Trump is saying in the press conferences and what some of the journalists are suggesting, and, you know, Andrew Cuomo is trying to call Trump king, but yet it was Andrew Cuomo that was sort of coming out saying, thank you very much for all the federal relief you gave me. Now we're going to be on our own. Leave us alone. Don't bother with us. You can't tell us what to do. And the president's like, look, you know, we got to, I see what you're doing. You know, you want to actually get together with a band of states and impact negatively my economy to hurt me in a political year. And that's what a lot of this was all about from the get-go. In addition to all of that, though, the states are basically saying, you know, thank you very much, but no thank you. Now, they could make decisions, and what Trump has been saying is the states can make decisions that can cost people their lives or have a direct impact as a group on the aggregate economy, on the entire American population. So it's not just enough about Wyoming going back to work earlier, sooner than later, or Nebraska, but we also depend on these states that control the ports and that control the entry into our country of goods and services, and that have a huge part of the overall GDP. And so they need to work with the federal government. And if they choose not to, that's a big problem. So there's that constitutional question as to how much control President Trump has over these states. But in addition to that, there's also what's going on with what some of the state governors are deeming essential items. You can't buy, you know, paint, but you can, but on your way to, you know, you can't buy your paint on the way to the liquor store to buy a gallon of vodka, right? It just seems a little odd what they're claiming to be essential. Just read an article today that said in Ohio, for example, that the police cracked down on a Amish wedding. I've been to Amish country, and it doesn't seem to me like that would be a big red alert area. And then police officers are taking license plate numbers of cars in church facilities.
Right. And so the federal government actually has the control of those ports as far as the receiving of, because it's clearly in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, that they actually control the ports of entry. They're the ones that actually dictate what we can import and what we can export. The fact is that, again, the states are actually autonomous. The federal government cannot force the states to have Obamacare. They can't force the states to comply to their energy standards. Those are not enumerated powers. 12 of the executive departments that the federal government is exercising are not enumerated powers. So constitutionally, they have no standing on education, housing, agriculture, even labor. And as a matter of fact, in 1926, Coolidge tried to champion an amendment to the Constitution to grant the federal government the ability to control labor, and the states rejected it. But yet they now are controlling labor to the nth degree, and they don't have that power. One of the most powerful things and examples I can give you is in, and I know this is history and it has nothing to do with this, but this is really important. In 1817, when Madison was retiring, Congress came to him to give him a bill, and it was kind of like by Madison's request, but I don't want to get into the long details. Fact of the matter is, they gave him this bill that would have created the foundation for the Department of Transportation, allowing the federal government to own the infrastructure of the highways and waterways. Madison vetoed that bill, told Congress that they don't have the enumerated powers, that they have to amend the Constitution if they want to have a Department of Transportation. I'm paraphrasing, but that's literally what he laid out. They waited until Monroe came into office, and in 1822, they did the exact same thing. They gave him a bill that would have laid out the foundation for a Department of Transportation. He said, you have to amend the Constitution, and vetoed it likewise. Congress waited again until 1830 with Andrew Jackson, gave him a bill that says we'd like to lay out this foundation for a Department of Transportation. And he even said that you have to amend the Constitution if you want to exercise this power, because it does not exist in the Constitution. We had three presidents, three, that vetoed Congress's attempts to usurp the power to create a Department of Transportation, and yet we have a Department of Transportation without an amendment. So who's wrong and who's right? And this is why understanding these layouts of how these powers were delegated and how they were limited is critical to understanding what the federal government can do and what they can't do. The federal government can control these ports. They can actually dictate that these things can come in, and the states cannot hinder in any way the flow of commerce throughout the republic. They can add a reasonable tax, as it says in Article 1, Section 10, I think it's subparagraph or subsection 3 or paragraph 3, where they can lay a tonnage. And I believe the states have already done that, because whatever is necessary for the flow of commerce going across their state highways and so forth. Fact of the matter is, everybody's violating the Constitution because nobody understands it. And I pray nightly that Trump would finally get somebody that understands the Constitution and actually be able to use it as a bat, beating everybody over the head and getting everybody into compliance. The problem is that the federal government, with all of its unconstitutional powers, I just don't see anybody, even Trump, saying, I'm going to cut off these arms and appendages that we've created because we have so much power. So it's a problem.
Say, didn't you say that a sheriff could literally arrest someone like Governor Northam right now?
Yes, he could. But what he'd have to do is he'd have to call a grand jury, a citizen's grand jury. Sheriffs and county prosecutors have the authority to actually call for a citizen's grand jury, instruct them on the Constitution, and then point out how he's violating the ex post facto laws, how he's violating the Constitution in all these different ways. And then the grand jury would easily come forth with a unanimous decision that he has violated his oath of office and must be removed. He's no longer qualified as a public servant who has been required to take an oath to support the Constitution. Yep.
All right. And, that's one thing. What do you make also of we also could talk about some of the things that were going on with regard to this wave of states that are abolishing the Electoral College in lieu of the national popular vote.
Right.
How is that legal? And how can that be corrected before the election?
Well, so there's this implied compact, and they're violating Article 1, subsection, or Section 10, subsection 1, where the states are entering into a treaty and or a compact without the consent of Congress. So
we covered to an extent, but what would be the natural, step forward? Because it's one thing to talk about it in theory.
Right.
It's another put something in action that prevents this from actually happening. Because, yeah, I see the train crashing into the wall, you know, so 3 months from now.
So the quick answer, Scott, is this, that the red states like Wyoming, Montana, or the states that have not gotten on board with this should sue the other states that are entering into this compact. They can actually take proaction right now. The attorney generals should pursue a lawsuit to say they're forming a compact, and this is without Congress's permission, and this is actually without an amendment to the Constitution, because clearly in Article 2 and the 12th Amendment, the laying out of how we're to choose the president is a constitutional process. They cannot just bypass the constitutional process. But, oh, by the way, if you didn't know, we're not even abiding by the Electoral College, because we as the people are supposed to vote for our electors, our representatives, and they're supposed to choose. We're not even supposed to have a popular vote.
Well, you know, and you could take this and say, okay, well, in all the big red states, Mississippi and Alabama and Wyoming and,
yep,
you know, all these red states, Indiana, or even Ohio, for this is considered a red state again. You take these states, and they're being directly impacted. Like in the 2016 election, all those states went red that I just mentioned.
Yep.
Okay, because I think that Trump is going to actually win the popular vote. Now, here's the flip side to this, GR, and that is that when you think about the, you think about the idea that if for some reason Trump would have won the Electoral College if he flips Minnesota and flips Virginia, but yet somehow he loses the popular vote, and then all of those states go to the delegates go to Hillary, for example. Then those states that actually did vote for Trump are denied their candidate because of the rigging of these other states, these 15 or 16 states. On the flip side of that, though, is a situation where you're going to have a situation where Trump can flip Virginia, flip Minnesota, flip New Mexico, and win the national popular vote as well. Now you got something like Oregon and Washington, California, Rhode Island, Maryland, and New York shoo-ins for the Democrats to win. And now, because they endorsed this popular vote, all their electoral votes would have to go to Trump as well. Trump could end up winning every state because it's only the 15 or 16 most liberal states that have adopted this popular vote law.
Right. Well, so the danger is when we start moving away, because we think it might give us leverage at this point in time, but down the road it may not. And the problem is that it's an absolute violation of the Constitution. And one of the ways you probably need to go into a break any second here. So just go ahead and cut me off if that's the case.
Well, we got a minute.
Okay. So we are a representative form of government. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution requires that every state be Republican informed. That means we're supposed to have representation through the guilds. That means that our electors, who are our representatives for our congressional districts, the fact that a state takes the position of winner takes all just defies the fact that we have lost our representation because they said, well, we're going to go by a popular vote instead of the Electoral College process. That in itself is unconstitutional. Actually, party primaries are unconstitutional because there's nowhere that gives allowance to a party primary to eliminate candidates for the presidency. And so these are things that the party has done in violating the statutes and regulations. And so I yield so that you can probably get ready to go into your break.
Okay. Well, GR, tell us how we can get a hold of you, and what do you have going on in terms of radio?
So I have my radio show on Red State Talk Radio, and that comes up on 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, and we go through the actual documents. We're going through the liberty. We're going through republicanism currently. We go through the ratification debates. I actually prove the academic case of just how bad we're in a constitutional crisis. And if we do not fix this, we do not right the ship soon, the Bolshevik Revolution is just around the corner because our education system has been indoctrinating our children to throw away our liberties.
And is your show live? Do you take call-in?
I do most of my shows are pre-recorded, but I do have a call-in line where you can actually call, make comments, questions, email me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And my call-in to leave a message is 425-270-5416.
Okay. Well, G.R. Mobley, thank you so much. You're my go-to guru for all things constitutional because I know a fraction of what you know.
Well, I hope I helped.
But thank you so much for spending time with us today.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Take care now.
Bye now. And as you can see, folks, we fire hose people with the Constitution. Their eyes glaze over because you think in 30 minutes you can ask all your questions, but there's a lot more data behind the information. We're going into break. We'll be right back, and we'll be getting into some need to know news and some other things. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so if you're ready to get into some need-to-know news, I want to share this with you first, because what we're going to be covering tomorrow is actually going to be giving you a look behind the lens regarding this pandemic, this coronavirus. We're speaking to Lionheart tomorrow. We've got him on record to coming out and saying, we talk about how many people have died. Most everybody's looking at China. And I mean, looking at the population, looking at the layout of the land, looking at how crammed people are in these states, in these small little countries like Spain and Italy and Germany, and understanding how confined they are and how many people have died. And you're looking at China and going, are you kidding me? Really? It doesn't make sense. And the question is, who's lying? Now, I've heard lots of people say, well, Chinese people are good people. And I know people. Most people are good people. I think that there are evil people out there. I don't think evil and good is tied to any race, culture, or what have you. I do believe that there are some systemic problems culturally. And I've pointed out that in some ways, due to the geography of China, they have for thousands of years had a propensity towards communal living. They've had to work together as a community to kind of feed each other and take care of things. And then they've had these emperors and these dynasties and so forth. But if you look, it is a culture that has lent to communal living, which means that even though the people weren't on board with the communist revolution, and even though we did nothing, and we talk about this, Lionheart and I talk about this, I will tell you that I believe the majority of the Communist Party, you know, they're locked into, you know, the old ideology, the ends justify the means. But there are people within the Communist Party that are just shuddering and going, oh my gosh, this is just terrible. And the people are realizing that this is no way of life. the people of Hong Kong have been calling out for liberty. They've been asking and begging and pleading. America, I mean, these things are going to be coming up in this interview. I think you're going to love them. Let me try to fire through some of the things that J. Edward Griffin has provided. And one of the things he reported was Robert F. Kennedy Jr., if you know who he is, he's a Democrat. And he's trying to take or clean up the Democratic Party, but there's so much baggage. I have no idea why he hasn't left and either become a libertarian or something else. I just don't understand why he maintains his affiliation with the Democratic Party. Anyway, he's provided a long list of vaccine crimes committed by Bill Gates that has caused death, paralysis, and many other serious injuries. In 2014, Kenya's Catholic Doctors Association accused the World Health Organization of chemically sterilizing millions of unwilling Kenyan women with a tetanus vaccine campaign. You know, come get your tetanus vaccine, and they actually sterilize them. Independent labs have found a sterility formula in every vaccine tested, and the World Health Organization finally admitted it had been developing the sterility vaccines for over a decade. Similar accusations come from Tanzania, Nicaragua, Mexico, and the Philippines. A study shows that the World Health Organization, its popular DPT, if you remember that, the DPT vaccine, is killing more African children than the diseases it prevents. Another thing that's come out of the Need to Know news, Kentucky Representative Thomas Massey says farmers are only weeks away from euthanizing animals that would have been sold for meat. Fruits and vegetables are also going to rot in the fields. The reason is that the food supply line has been broken by government and the COVID-19 policies. Farmers are not allowed to process their own livestock and must send them to commercial processors. And as a matter of fact, I've been seeing there's these petitions out to take back the power from the meat packers. Anyway, yet six large processing plants are shut down from the coronavirus. So in other words, these plants, they're not processing meat. So where's the meat going to come from? Where are you going to get your meat if now all of a sudden farmers can't cut, butcher, and provide? And I know in Wyoming they can, but many states they can't because they're protecting these meat packers. This becomes a big money issue. They create their own lobbyists. They go in and buy legislation. They get protection. And now you are held hostage to what these evildoers are doing politically to serve themselves. So even though the supermarkets are eager for beef and pork and consumer prices are rising, the supply is severely throttled. If farmers cannot sell their products and thereby cannot afford to feed them or milk them, they will begin to euthanize them and bury their carcasses. This happened with Nixon. Anybody that remembers when Nixon had the ability to freeze the prices, the farmers protested. I've talked about this before. This is what happens when all of a sudden you have something that is a commodity that people want and you're being restricted or being told how you can sell it or whether you're going to take a loss on it or not. If I'm going to take a loss on it, I might as well kill it and bury it. And that's the mentality. You know, I understand that we all have to eat and you depend on this person to feeding you. But how would you feel if all of a sudden you were compelled in having to provide free labor or actually pay to go to work and provide labor for somebody else to make a profit off of you, where you make nothing, you actually lose money? This is wrong and this is immoral. It's the same thing with compelling doctors to provide a service for whatever they're going to dictate you're going to get paid. We'll get to a point where doctors will not even be able to recoup their time and the money that they've spent in the finest institutions to become great doctors, and they're going to have to walk away from something that they really had a deep desire in serving. It's not just you can't tell me it's about the money. It's not always about the money. A lot of these folks, I know doctors, many of them actually do have the desire of service. And they don't like the insurance. As a matter of fact, they would much rather work out, you know, deals with people instead of having to deal with bureaucrats, especially insurance company bureaucrats. Here's another little fact. The Bill and Melinda Gates, this is from the G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated more than $21 million towards developing a vaccine technology that uses a tattoo-like mechanism which injects invisible nanoparticles under the skin that can be read by smartphones. This technology is now being tested in a vaccine for the virus that causes the COVID-19. The goal is to enable house-to-house vaccine campaigns. How much more maniacal can these people be? And Gates feels he's 100% protected because he owns our government. These elitists own our government. At least they want to think so. Folks, you need to take back your Constitution, and then we will be able to put these people in their place. Because what he is doing is outright rebellion against the Constitution. It's one thing if he goes and lives in another nation. But if things go the way they should, and as people start recognizing the Constitution and so forth, you know, he may be able to survive, but his children eventually will be cast out from one nation to the next as nations finally go through the process of embracing liberty. Because I think once people see, you know, the evil head of subjugation and state, the statist global communism that's coming down the pike, people are going to say, no, I'm done. There's money involved in this COVID, you know, diagnosis and so forth. And as a matter of fact, last week, Senator Scott Jensen from Minnesota told Fox News that Medicare pays $13,000 to hospitals for COVID-19 admissions and $39,000 if they are placed on ventilators. In other words, we're going to reward you if you, you know, consider this, well, the guy doesn't have COVID, but he needs a ventilator. So let's call it COVID. We'll put him in the hospital, give him a ventilator, and we're going to make money on it. Why are they doing this? Why is the deep state operating this quid pro quo type of government or this thug mentality? I'll tell you why. Because it's all about maintaining a narrative to get everyone to capitulate, to surrender your liberties and let the state take care of you. Is that what you want? If you do not want to be the slave to the state, to the new innovation of slavery, the only alternative is to demand republic review, demand that your state legislators audit the Constitution, put the federal government back into place, and then get your state governments back into compliance to the U.S. Constitution. And as far as I'm concerned, there's merit in rewriting your constitutions, and we can get into all of that, and I'm here to help, and I'm not from the government. I tell people that all the time, and they always get a chuckle because they understand that when somebody that comes from the government, they're usually bringing a problem, and it's usually not a good thing. It never comes with good news. So with that, folks, we will be back tomorrow with Lionheart. And so we will have a very extensive interview. You're going to find out how many people have actually died and how they came up with this information, which is just mind-bending. We will be back. I'm Jared Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.